they were already there to worship the God of Israel. So maybe when they got to Jerusalem, they heard about Jesus and all the things he'd been doing. So they asked to see him. They want to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus. They don't want a theological discourse or a sermon which is way over their heads. And neither do we. The Greek people put into words what every non-Christian needs, whether they consciously want it or not. They want to see Jesus. And when non-Christians encounter a follower of Jesus, we should be able to show them Jesus. That might mean showing that we actually do care. It might be welcoming someone who wouldn't feel welcome inside a church. It might mean even tending to someone's tangible needs. Or it might just mean being exactly who you are. But one way or another, we must or should show them Jesus. That's a much better invitation to the kingdom than an argument or a well-rehearsed spiel. Jesus tells his disciples, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." The glory of God shines most brightly when someone comes to know Jesus face to face. This is why he came into the world. This is the giving of his life, both here, face to face with disciples and strangers, and in the end, on the cross. A voice came from heaven. After Jesus said this, a very odd thing happens. He calls out to God to glorify him, and God answers. Here we have, again, a moment of revelation. It happened at Jesus' baptism, it happened on the Mount of Transfiguration, and it happens in the end as Jesus is on the cross. A voice came from heaven. When people are face to face with Jesus, seeking to see him and listen to him, God's voice speaks from heaven. I wonder if it's always like that, but we can't see it. Some people thought it was thunder. Some thought it was an angel. But Jesus knew, and so did John. God spoke from heaven, and most people missed it. I guess it happens all the time. Those who first asked this famous question were Greeks. They were not expecting a Messiah, but they had heard of this man, Jesus, and wanted to see him for themselves. They'd no doubt heard that Jesus had recently raised Lazarus, the last and perhaps greatest of the miracles that he performed. They had heard about Jesus' recent triumphal entry into Jerusalem on the day which we will celebrate next week as Palm Sunday. So naturally they wanted to see Jesus for themselves. Who wouldn't? But there's no record of the Greeks actually getting to see Jesus that day. Instead, their request to see Jesus initiated a conversation between Jesus and his disciples about his upcoming death. And at the end of that conversation, Jesus tells his disciples that when he is lifted up, he will draw all people to himself. In other words, when he is crucified, then all the world, including the Greeks, will see Jesus. And there are many who wish to see him still, including us. But if we want to see Jesus, truly see him, there is one place above all that we must look. We have to look to the cross. Why must we look to the cross? Why not the triumphal entry or the empty tomb or the transfiguration? Why do we have to keep being reminded of his death on the cross? I suppose we all have asked that question. Even Jesus is tempted to ask, "My trouble is sold, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour." No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Even Jesus is tempted to ask his heavenly Father to save him from this hour, from his death on the cross. Try and find another way to save our world. And we too are tempted to try and find a way that doesn't involve the cross. Like others, we want to see Jesus, but must it be on the cross? Even in church, we're often tempted to try and have Christianity without the cross. It's always tempting to preach good news without the cross. It's always tempting to offer a feel-good religion with no acknowledgement of our sin and of our need for the cross. How easy it would be to just do that. But that's not the full story of what Jesus came to do for us. And not only that, but if we see Jesus on the cross, then we see Jesus everywhere. On humanity's darkest day, we see God's love shining most brightly. And so, on our darkest day, we see God's love shining brightly too. No matter the pain or the suffering or the challenges we face, we can see Jesus right there in the midst of them, in the midst of us. The cross is where Jesus defeated sin, death and the devil. It's where he defeated the ruler of this world, as Jesus called Satan. It's where he bore the judgment of the world. In other words, this is where he accomplished our salvation. Without the cross, Jesus knows that his mission will have been in vain. As he says to his disciples, unless the grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Jesus knew that he would remain a single grain unless he died on the cross. To bear much fruit, he had to die on the cross. And if we think of Jesus' death on the cross as being the grain of wheat falling into the earth and dying, then what is the fruit that it bears? What is the fruit borne by the cross? The cross frees us from sin, death, and the devil. It's not just Jesus' teaching that frees us from these things. His teaching shows us how to live once we are freed, but it doesn't free us. It is his death on the cross that frees us. Unless he dies on the cross, the fruit of our freedom will never be born in us. The freedom of the gospel was won on the cross, not in the miracles, not in the teaching, not even in the resurrection, but on the cross. The cross helps us to bear the fruit of the kingdom while on this earth. Jesus died on the cross to free us, to bring us into his kingdom, and to give us the Holy Spirit, that we might bear the fruit of his kingdom. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. When we abide in Jesus, we bear much fruit. He is the grain of wheat that fell into the ground on the cross so that we could bear much fruit. And he bears this fruit through us. He is the vine. We are the branches. Those who abide in Jesus and he in them bear much fruit. Those who hear the word, who pray, who worship Jesus, who live in Jesus, bear the fruit of his kingdom on this earth. Jesus died to plant the seed of the gospel in us all. And when we stay connected to him, we bear his fruit. Today, by God's grace, you and I get to see Jesus. We have heard his words. We have worshipped. We have prayed. We've gathered in his name. We have seen Jesus once more. We have been set free from sin, death, and the devil. We have been reminded that we now belong to Jesus and live in his kingdom. We can now bear the fruit of the kingdom, reminding all the world through our words and our deeds that we have a Saviour who has been lifted up and seeks to draw all the world to himself. Amen.